All we're simply doing is we're incentivizing the right values, the right behavior, and therefore the practice becomes a beneficiary of that.
You're listening to the Dental Sherpas Podcast, where we make it easier to transform your practice, get out of the chair, and into the life you want. Well, hello, podcast listeners. Thanks for tuning in for another episode. This is episode number 5 of the Dental Sherpas, Sid. How are you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. 5, man. We're doing great. Let's keep going on.
Let's just keep going. Well, you know, last week we talked about a lot of good stuff. And one of the things that I want to talk about this week is the fact that, you know, I know that you attribute a lot of your growth to rethinking hygiene in your practice. Let's talk about that for a little bit. You want to?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. I think one of the big components for myself, and you mentioned, how do I rethink hygiene? I think one of the biggest beliefs in the dental owner's mindset is that hygiene's got to be this revenue source, or it's got to be highly productive. And there's always a certain belief that my hygienists have to be worth 33% of my overall revenue and production. But I would rethink that, to be honest. I would look at hygiene as being a means of growth in your company purely based on the amount of hygiene visits that come through your practice. Because when it comes down to it, I look at my hygiene as being the level of loyalty of our patients coming back into the business. And from a perspective of the dentistry, the hygiene department is where we're actually doing our exams and doing that restorative dentistry that basically helps the productivity of the office. So that's the main mindset that we have that I think somehow goes against the grain in many consultants' points of view or owners who tend to think, boy, my hygienist is not doing X amount of dollars per day, or they're not doing enough scaling and root planing, or selling enough, I call it fairy dust powder to make their gums better. They're not doing their job. But I would really challenge the belief to consider it that way.
So let me ask that a little different way, Sid. I want to back up just a little bit. Where do most practices simply just miss it concerning their hygiene department?
Well, I think they really miss the value. And the value being, like, what is each dental hygiene exam worth? I think if people start to engineer the understanding of how those exams really have a great value to the practice, they'd really understand it a lot better.
So that's a key point.
Right.
They miscalculate, if I can use that word, they miscalculate the value of hygiene to their practice, right? They're looking at it as a source of revenue from the hygiene fee, correct? What they get for doing the pro fee, right? What they get for doing the exams. But what you're saying is there's a hidden value there as well that they're not thinking about.
Yeah, huge hidden value. So one of the things that you and I have talked about many times off this podcast is, like, if dentists would simply look at the value of your hygiene exam, which is really a straightforward process to do, if you would look at the amount of hygiene exams you do a month, and of those hygiene exams, how many people said yes to recommendations you made, and then you basically take the average of what you produced or how much revenue came in, and then you simply do a little math. You divide that by the amount of exams that people basically that ended up being accepted. That'll give you a number that'll show you what the average of each hygiene exam would be. So process that first. I know that's probably bending a little bit of your minds out there, but the reality is that if you're able to get that number, you're then able to understand how valuable these hygiene exams they are and how valuable it would be to the practice to consider, boy, if we just get some more exams, we're looking at adding that much more productivity based on the average I talked about to help the practice grow.
You're blowing all our minds out here, man. I'm gonna interpret what you said, because what you said is so important and it's so earth-shattering. What you're saying is certainly there's a fee component to hygiene.
Right.
But the main value, and this is really a base camp idea to keep with our Dental Sherpas theme here, a base camp idea. Well, actually, that we're kind of moving from base camp to camp one here, right? This is a little more advanced. So this is more of a camp one, moving towards camp one idea, is understanding that first you got to track your hygiene, right? How many dentists do I talk to on a weekly basis There's lots and lots and lots of them out of there where I say, okay, let's talk about your hygiene department. How many hygiene visits did you do last month? And they don't know, Sid. They say things like, well, I think she does, you know, maybe 7 a day and she's here 3 days a week. And it's like, whoa, no, no, no. That's a number that needs to be on our Basecamp dashboard, right? Mm-hmm. How many hygiene visits, how many profies did we do, right? So we need to track that. And there is that fee component, but what you're talking about is there's also another value, which is those hygiene visits get an exam. A doctor gets to look in the mouth, and the doctor gets to diagnose decay and things that need to be fixed inside the mouth, and they get to present treatment. And so if I can, help me check my math here, Sid, what you're saying is if we take our production mm-hmm. and divide it by our number of hygiene visits that month.
Yeah, that I would say accepted hygiene visits.
Accepted. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Our accepted treatment.
Treatment accepted. Yep. You got it.
Our accepted treatment divided by those number of hygiene visits, then we'll know exactly how much on average that hygiene visit is worth to the practice. So for example, let's say you did that math and we'll keep it simple. And you had $6,400 worth of production or accepted treatment. Sorry, I'm going to use your language. $6,400 worth of accepted treatment divided by 10 hygiene visits. That would mean your average production, or excuse me, accepted treatment per hygiene visit is $640 per hygiene visit. We doing that math right?
You're doing it great.
So what that tells me, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm like hitting myself over the head with like a frying pan here to kind of go, hey, ding, 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 pay attention here, Matt. What you're saying is that every time somebody sits in that chair for hygiene, it's worth, in our example there, they're worth $640 to the practice?
Absolutely. But again, I think you're probably going to go over this, Matt, but the reality is that we're not saying that every patient who sits down in your chair is worth $640. We're saying there is an average based on the production you're able to accomplish from those accepted treatment exams. You're going to be able to have an average of that. So what it means in terms of looking at the bigger picture is understanding that there is an implicit value, potential value of those exams, which will then allow you to basically put that on your restorative schedule and therefore increase your productivity of the practice. So not to make things really simplified and basic, but what Matt is saying is understanding that each exam you're going to be doing potentially provides you the opportunity to do $640 worth of dentistry. And understanding that, for me, I'm not sure about you guys out there, but that's a game changer. That intentionally means that, hey man, why am I not worried about hygiene more often? You see what we're saying here? So Matt, why don't you jump in here and let me know?
Yeah, absolutely. So what it's showing me is that hygiene must be tracked. And then hygiene becomes the lever that you pull on, so to speak, to really change the altitude of the practice, right? To really grow the practice, we want to really focus on hygiene. Because if I'm doing the math here, I was just scratching it out here. If you want to grow by 64,000 this month, then the way to do it using our math is to add 100 hygiene visits.
Absolutely.
So now if we focus on those hygiene visits, that becomes a really kind of a number and a methodology that really trickles down to the team very well, right, Ted? Because now you've got something to aim at. Instead of just going, gosh, we want to grow, hopefully some people will come in for some more full mouth restorations, right? That's no way to grow, right?
Yeah, right.
Or that's not no systematic way to grow.
Correct.
But if we want to grow systematically, now we have something to aim at. We have something to measure and talk about how now we have something to incentivize towards, correct?
Absolutely. Because then naturally, you know, well, the next question probably is coming from the audience is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That just means I've got to handle and service more hygiene patients, which means I got to bring more staff aboard, which means I got to deal with having more chairs available. And you're completely right. A lot of that has exactly that effect. But what Matt is talking about and what we talked about last podcast is that there has to be some proper incentives in place. And again, I talked a lot about the core value of my practice, and I'm sure many of yours, is to provide a scenario where you're serving as many people in your community at the best way possible. And I'm not advocating you have to create this crazy, busy, clinic-like environment. What I'm saying is don't you want to take care of more people? And I think if your staff is a really big proponent of that, by using the right value system, you can incentivize on the idea that, hey, let's bring in more people through hygiene. Let's take care of more of our community. Let's create more of those great experiences everyone else is getting with us. And then by doing that, to realize not only will you be living out our core values, but hey, we're going to incentivize that, meaning that with the more hygiene that comes in, we're going to bonus our team. We're going to bonus our hygienists. We're going to bonus our hygiene and our regular assistants. We're going to bonus our people scheduling those people. So it's seen as a win-win, meaning that all we're simply doing is we're incentivizing the right values, the right behavior, and therefore the practice becomes a beneficiary of that.
Perfect. You know, I had an old guy tell me this. I may have said this on the podcast before, but I had an old guy when I just got involved with dentistry. He looked at me, and I like to picture him as a guy with a cigar in his mouth. The truth is he didn't have a cigar in his mouth. But this old guy looked at me and said, Matt, here's what you need to know about dentistry. All you need to know. And I said, what's that? He said, decay only goes one way. Nothing ever gets better in the mouth. And what he was teaching me subtly was that we want, the purpose of the hygiene is not only all the health benefits that, you know, having regular cleanings has been proven and the science has been proven to show, but also it is a great revenue source for the practice because we get to diagnose, we get to see what's happening inside the mouth. And it becomes, I know you're going to cringe when I say this, but it almost becomes like what other businesses would say, it becomes a sales call. Not that you're selling treatment that doesn't need to be done, but it gives you the opportunity to have an interview to say, hey, what's going on inside of your mouth? And is there a solution that we can provide that will help fix that? So driving that hygiene becomes really what I like to call the river, right, that powers a hydroelectric dam that is the practice, right? So it's the river that flows, you know, everything through there. It also does something else that you talk about, said, and I want you to take a second and talk about this. It also drives something that you call creating loyalty, or I love your other phrase, creating missionaries for your practice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we try to do in that environment is that our entire, you know, mission, for lack of a better term, is to serve people better. That's something that's kind of ingrained in our team, in our cultural beliefs, and our practice. And so when we talk about creating missionaries, a lot of times we think, well, maybe that's going to be the patients. We're trying to provide a certain level of belief that the patients will keep coming through hygiene, and they're going to be missionaries, have great experiences, and tell their friends, families, and coworkers. But what Matt's talking about is to create missionaries with your team. Like, if there is a belief that what we're doing is like we're taking care of people better. And by basically taking care of people better, we're bringing more people through hygiene because that's the way we bring people into the practice. That's typically the most pleasurable experience a dental office can offer. And then the team believes that, hey, not only are we doing right by our values, oh my goodness, we're getting rewarded. So by doing that, wouldn't you think that people who are then doing that in your practice, your team members, your hygiene assistants, your front office people, they're going to be highly, highly excited about that. And more importantly, they then become your missionaries for the practice. They then are able to kind of share the good word, so to speak. So if you're trying to get more great people in your practice, if you're trying to get more new patients into your practice, your team then is aligned and therefore feels very strongly about kind of doing what we're trying to accomplish. Because again, we start with the cultural values. We have a good incentive plan on base. And on top of that, there's a reward system that begets all that good stuff.
And the team, clearly, because, you know, I've heard you guys say this and preach it over and over again and make sure that they understand, the team, the staff understands that hygiene is the red carpet, so to speak, into your practice. And so even during, you told me off the podcast here that even during the coronavirus, we're recording this here in August of 2020, even during the coronavirus, when you guys were shut down to restorative care, but you were able to do emergencies, the team, you guys were focused on rolling the red carpet out for those folks who came in for emergencies and making sure that they understood the value of those hygiene visits and making sure that they had hygiene visits both scheduled and also, you know, if you had the opportunity to, while they were in, to go ahead and do the cleanings, right? Because that's the red carpet and everybody is focused on making sure that the hygiene department continues to build and continues to keep our river analogy to continues to have current, right? That there's, yeah, that there's flow coming through that hygiene department. So let me ask you this, Ed. So if the hygiene is that river that powers the practice. How do you do more of it? And I'm going to lead you here a little bit because you and I have had these conversations for years. What I have found is that one of the things that makes many businesses successful that dentists do not either know or just choose not to implement in their practice is most businesses ask their customers what they want. And so you guys actually asked your customers what they want through a study done by Northwestern for Chrisad. And what did that study show when asked the patients, what do they want?
So I think what Matt's talking about is a study that it's been discussed many times with myself and Matt, other people who kind of think along these terms, which is that when you ask a person, and this study was done by thousands of dental patients across the country, when you ask these people, when do they want to come in for a teeth cleaning? Would they prefer coming between 8 to 5, or they would prefer coming before or after work on the weekends? And 85% of those thousands of patients said, well, definitely, I want to come before or after work on the weekends. But knowing that information, understanding there's an obviously overwhelming amount of people who want cleanings done after, before work, or on the weekends, the same studies then looked at those practices and found out that of all those patients, 78% of those patients were still being put in between 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. So there's a stark, obviously, stark difference in realities there, right? We have patients asking for appointments before and after work and weekends, but the practices keep putting people in those appointments between 9 to 5. So there is where the big disconnect is.
So by offering the patient, well, first by asking the patient what they want and learning what they want, and then right. Simply now your job is to, as a healthcare provider, both give them the healthcare that they need, but give it to them in a way that they want, that they've said that they want. So what you and I've talked a lot about is that convenience is the main thing that the patients want when it comes to their cleaning. Now, said, are we talking about restorative care or, you know, coming in for that root canal?
You know, I'm talking about just hygiene. I mean, the same studies will show that in that same demographic that if you ask people, let's say that same person who wants to have that cleaning only on the weekends or only before after work during the week, when it comes to getting that root canal, getting that crown, getting a lot of that dentistry that has to be done, the far majority of those people are going to be able to come in Monday through Friday between 9 to 5. And the reality is this, it's because in the dental industry, we think of crowns and root canals and surgeries and fillings that we do with just everyday stuff, no big deal. But to the mindset of a typical patient, we're talking about surgery in their minds. And in that particular capacity, they look at that as an event that merits them not basically coming in when it feels comfortable for them, but coming in when it needs to be done and at a time that it's good for the doctor. Meaning that in that particular situation, those patients are very open to coming in between 9 to 5 because they're simply just trying to get this important thing taken care of. And here's the other key thing that people don't think about. When that particular individual has to go to their boss, so to speak, and has to take off some time from work, if they go get the, they ask for a clean, let's say they're getting the cleaning and they want to take off time from work, the boss's first response would be, heck no, cleaning? That's like getting your nails done. You just got to do that on your time. But if you go to that same boss and you say, hey man, I got to get a root canal and a crown done, that boss's response will be just like you think it would be from the standpoint of the layman. It's like, oh my Lord, yeah, take care of that. I don't want you suffering and getting all sick on work time and having to take more time off from work. So there's a very, very different perception there. So what I'm trying to say in a roundabout way is people are going to be far more open and coming through the midday, midweek for that restorative care. But when it comes to hygiene, boy, we got to meet them on their terms and be available either before or after work or the weekends. And that provides a successful formula for getting your schedule done right. So your patients are going to keep coming through your practice and do very well by you.
I like to think of myself as your ideal client, your ideal patient, Ed, right? Uh-huh. I can pay for just about any dentistry that you need me or want me to pay for that you diagnose and tell me that I need, and I trust you to do that. And I live a busy lifestyle, not only with work, but with my family. Two boys and a wife, and we're running around doing sports and, you know, all kind of other stuff. And so when my hygienist says, hey, Matt, can you come in 6 months from today at 11 a.m.? And I go, well, do I really know what I'm doing 6 months from today at 11 a.m.? No, I probably don't. But I say, hey, great, go ahead and put it down 6 months, 11 a.m. But then let's say that important meeting or that important client comes up. And like you said, I go to that client or that meeting and I say, hey, guys, I'm sorry I can't be here because I have to go get my teeth cleaned. No, that doesn't happen. So one of the reasons that dentists do have a high no-show rate is because of they're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. They're trying to put these patients in places where they don't really want to be. However, if I have a 7 a.m. cleaning 6 months from now, well, it's highly likely that once I drop my kids off at school, I don't have anything going on between 7, 8 o'clock, right? So I'm much more likely to keep that appointment as well. And I like that time as well because I know that I don't have to take away from anything else that I'm doing. So what you guys have done in order to give the patient what they want, how have you re-engineered the hours of your practice to do so, Sid?
Yeah, so what we've done in our practice is that we've kind of embraced the concept of that way. And so for my hours, and we just did this as opposed, well, before this summertime, we actually went from hours from Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Friday and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And as of August, we've actually increased those evening hours to go from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So now we're actually open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday and Saturdays and Sundays, 8 to 5. So why do we do that? Well, the reason being is we, just like we've been talking about earlier in this conversation, we know there's going to be this great desire and great need for those prime time hours. And especially when people are going to, let's talk what's going on right now, people. The reaction is that people are back at work and they are making it more and more increasingly difficult to take off time in the middle of the week to go get that cleaning done, to go get anything done for that matter. And so people are more and more relying on getting their appointments done and getting all their errands done before or after work. So we're just simply just trying to accommodate that great need that patients have. And so we've designed it that way to allow ourselves to accommodate that, but at the same time, realizing that we don't want to stick a bunch of hygiene in the middle of the day. So we were really light on putting hygiene in the middle of the day, and then we focus more on putting our restorative care there from all those exams that are being done during the prime time. And then that becomes a practice which becomes highly predictable from a management standpoint, from staffing, from managing, and for simply executing, to be honest.
That's great. So I know folks that are listening out there, they hear you talking about re-engineering your hours. And the question that I get all the time and the question that our listeners are probably thinking right now is, okay, that sounds great, but how do you set up your staff to buy in to that type of practice? 7 in the morning till 9 at night, 8 to 5 on the weekends. How do you set your staff up well to buy into that?
Well, so there's a funny term that one of my managers told me. He said, we basically put up in our break room once that said that the flogging will continue until morale improves. So that's not necessarily what we do. But
I was about to say, what?
But no, to be honest, I laugh because it's you got to have some, you gotta have a good sense of humor to kind of deal with this. Because you're right. It is hard, folks. It's difficult to overcome that. It's difficult to get staff to buy in. So what do we do? I've certainly, my position has always been like not to give, this is how you do it, or this is the advice I'm going to give you, but the experience share. And so what we ended up doing is to take into account, like, what drives people? What do they want? Like, how do I go about meeting people at a point where they are going to, knowing they understand already the core values, knowing that they already have bought in enough to be in a practice like mine, which is obviously a little bit of an outlier. How do we go about then inspiring them to actually commit to the longer hours or to commit to working on weekends? And so it comes down to that I found is that basically, again, going back to that frou-frou stuff that a lot of you don't talk about, which is like really kind of focusing in on like what is going to be the mission? What are the things that we've already agreed upon making our decisions on? And then how does that fit to whatever changes or whatever things we're going to do for the practice to improve to accommodate that? So a lot of times it's having that conversation first, right? That's the first step, like the why, like giving them the why. I think that's the biggest mistake a lot of people do is they just arbitrarily tell their team, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to extend hours. We're going to put you this time. This is going to be your new shift. But if you actually spend the time to explain the why, believe it or not, that's just the first hurdle you got to get. And after that, you're going to find out there's going to be some people in your company, believe it or not, who like working early morning and maybe getting off early in the afternoon. You're going to have other people who don't like getting up early, who like getting up maybe later, starting later in the day and finishing later, right? So first of all, trying to meet people on their terms. You're going to find things that they want to do. And the second thing is, and again, it goes to levels of incentivizing, right? The people who are working from 6 to 9 p.m. are getting higher paid, meaning that their bottom line is getting paid, plus they're getting incentives for taking care of patients in those hours as well. So there's a great incentive plan in mind for doing the right behavior to take care of people on their terms. And the last thing being, when it comes down to getting your team to buy in, doing these kind of things, sometimes, this is the ugly part, guys, sometimes some of your current team just won't evolve. They just won't get to that point. So we've got very comfortable basically looking out to always looking out to recruit the next great team player. Not meaning that I'm trying to cycle people through, not meaning I'm turning people over. Don't get me wrong. I want people to kind of stick around, envelop what we're doing, get comfortable, get paid well, do all the great things to keep them within the company. But as you grow, as any company grows, there's going to be a certain level of evolution that goes on. And be comfortable with that, knowing that you can still kind of go out there and find great people. So in my particular company, we've gone to 9, you just heard me say, we've gone to 9 p.m. Now, I've got some team players who love that, who are like, awesome, man, I want to go there. I want to make more money in those hours. I want to start later in the day. Great. But I have others who don't, and it's okay. I found some wonderful people from other industries, and that's the key, guys. I think a lot of times, and that's a whole different podcast, by the way, Matt, we don't have to always draw a team or talent from the dental field. There's people out there who are comfortable working those hours, who are comfortable working the weekends, who like working the weekends as it fits their family schedules, it fits their personal ways of looking at flexibility. And so by doing that, by kind of thinking outside the box and developing a company that basically, well, for lack of a better term, embraces that level of open ways of creating better schedules for people, you're then able to kind of create that level of coverage for those prime time hours without creating a certain level of resistance or pushback that typically is believed by many out there that you can't overcome that.
So what I heard you say is, number one, it's not impossible.
Nope.
I mean, you are in healthcare, right?
Yeah.
Hey, folks out there, we are in healthcare. In hospitals and doctors' offices and surgery centers, they staff like this. So it's not impossible. Number two, what I heard you say was, you never know who really wants to work that schedule. I have doctors say, how do you get a hygienist to work on the weekends? I said, man, you know, we've developed this really sophisticated formula for doing it. We just advertise for one who wants to work on the weekends. And they go, oh yeah. You know, somebody calls and says, wait a second, I can work Saturday and Sunday and get all those hours in. Plus you're going to give them a little incentive bump, right? So that's point number three that you said,
right?
But that person says, wait a second, my kids are at home with me during the week. My husband can be home on the weekends with the kids. We don't have to pay for childcare, and I can go in and work on Saturday and Sunday. I mean, you just never know what people's situations are. So you develop that vision, you develop that mindset that it's not impossible, and then you just start asking and finding the right fit people who want to be in there. And then number three, what I heard you said was then we do incentivize, right? You do want to incentivize those folks because again, that's how healthcare does it. You do want to incentivize for them. And then fourthly, you don't, certainly I know you, you're not, we're not trying to say that high turnover is great for a company. Mm-hmm. No. But what you are saying is, if I can kind of reword what you're saying there a little bit, is you've set the vision, you've made it accessible and incentivized your team to meet the vision, and the mission of to serve people better. And sometimes there are people that come up and just say, I don't want to be a part of that mission. And they self-select out, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to be sensitive to that and all of that, but that's okay. We're not saying that everybody has to work in a dental office like this, but certainly for your team, this is what you're looking for. So that's all great stuff. Hey, Sid, I think next week, how about we talk about associates and how do we find associates and buy in there as well? Because that's a major crux of what we're trying to do as well, right?
Oh yeah, that's a really good, I can talk a whole bunch about associates. I've had my challenges, but I've had my wins, but it's a great topic to talk about.
All right, man, I know you can. Well, until then, listeners, thanks for checking us out. Thanks for listening. And we hope that you are on your road to getting out of the chair and into your life. Take care.
All right, thank you.